नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम 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 नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्ण। We are in the middle of the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which is called the Purushottama Yoga, or the Yoga of the Supreme Person. In the first shloka of this chapter, Krishna described this material world as an upside-down banyan tree. Urdhvamulam adhashakham ashvattham prahuravyayam. So he compared the banyan tree and the material world, and he said all the Vedas are like the leaves of the tree, and then many other comparisons are given. And ultimately we are bound in this material world. We need to cut this tree of this material world with the axe of detachment. And the process of developing the detachment is surrendering unto the Supreme Lord. Okay. We develop detachment from the material world, and simultaneously we need to develop attachment to the Supreme Lord. And we need to take shelter of the Supreme Lord Krishna, and we need to surrender unto Krishna. And that surrendering process is Nirmana Moha Jita Sangha Dosha Adhyatma Nitya Vinivritta Kamaha. We have seen in the 5th verse that one need to be free from false prestige, illusion, and other material attachments, all this. And what are the qualities of spiritual world that a devotee is going to attain by this surrendering process? Krishna says, Tatad bhasayate suryo na shashanko na pavakaha. So in the spiritual world, there is no sun, there is no moon, there is no fire to illuminate, because the spiritual planets are self-effulgent. The planet of Krishna is self-illuminated. You don't need an external illumination to generate light there. So in this way, just in 6 verses, Krishna took us through a journey from the material world to the spiritual world. He said material world is a place of entanglement. We need to be detached. We need to cut this material realm with the axe of detachment, and we need to surrender unto Krishna. And he said about surrendering process, and in that way we can go to the spiritual world. And these are the qualities of spiritual world. Okay. Now, after describing all this in first 6 verses, Krishna describes the process of transmigration of the living entities in the next few verses, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. In these 5 shlokas, Krishna describes why this living entity is in this material world. Why is he transmigrating from one body to another body, one species to another species in this material realm, which is a place of suffering? What is the reason? So Krishna says, 7th shloka. Mamaivamsho jiva loke.
Mamaivamsho jiva loke.
Jiva bhutah sanatanah.
Jiva bhutah sanatanah.
Manah shasthani indriyani.
Manah shasthani indriyani.
Prakritisthani karshati.
Prakritisthani karshati.
Krishna says, Mama eva amsho jiva loke. All these jivas, the living entities, are my amshas, my parts, my fragmental parts. Mama eva amsho jiva loke means we are all eternal fragmental parts of the Supreme Lord. Then, manaha shashthani indriyani prakritisthani karshati. Although we are spiritual in nature, being fragmental parts of the Supreme Spiritual Lord, Krishna, still we are caught up in this conditional life. Okay? And we are struggling hard because of the 6 senses. There are 5 senses, plus the mind is also counted as a sense. Manaha shashtani indriyani. Shashta is 6. So because of the 6 senses, including the mind, we are struggling. Prakriti sthani karshati. We are caught up in this prakriti, in this conditioned life. Okay, so in the shloka Krishna describes that the jiva is spiritual in nature, the jiva's nature is similar to the Supreme Lord Krishna's nature, and all these jivas are parts and parcels of Krishna, but they are struggling hard in this material nature despite being spiritual in nature. Okay, and they are struggling hard in this world because of this material mind and the six senses. Okay, so now when Krishna says that we are all his amshas, mama eva amsho, in the previous chapters, in the 7th chapter, Krishna said, bhumirapo analo vayu khammano buddhirevacha ahankara iti yamme bhinna prakriti rashtata. When he has to describe the material elements here, like earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, ego, all these 8 material elements, Krishna said, bhinna prakriti rashtata. They are separated energies of mind. So they are separated from me. But when Krishna has to speak about all of us, the jivas, he says, mama eva amsho. Prakriti are the material elements, are my separated energies, bhinna prakriti. But jivas, mama eva amsho. They are my parts and parcels, my amshas. Thus Krishna owns us. Krishna never disowns us. Although we are averse to a sense of subordination to Krishna, although we are not very much devotional, still Krishna counts all of us as his parts and parcels. That is our eternal constitutional position. We are his parts. Fine. So mama eva amsho jiva loke. But still they are struggling hard in this material world because of aversion to devotional service, because of not accepting bhakti yoga. So now Krishna is calling all of us amshas. But we also heard from many other scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Krishna has so many avataras. These avataras are also called amshas. They are called amshavataras. So these amshavataras and these amshas, who are the jivas, are the same. Avataras are also called amshas. Jivas are also called amshas. Avataras are also considered is representations. They are like, now amshavataras are of different types. You see, we are not avatars, we are jivas. Now you see, it is clearly said, sanatanaha mamaivamsho jiva loke jiva bhutaha sanatanaha. Sanatan means we are all eternal. Avataras are also eternal. Krishna is eternal. Avataras are eternal, means Krishna's incarnations are eternal. And Krishna's parts, jivas, we are also eternal. That means God and the living entities are same. Some people may come to this kind of conclusion, but there is a difference. Prabhupada addresses this in the purport. It is not that he assumes individuality in his conditional life and in his liberated state, he becomes one with the Supreme. We are not one with the Lord. He is eternally fragmented. We are amshas. We are eternally individuals. Okay, we are qualitatively one with the Lord, but we are quantitatively different from the Lord. We are anus and he is vibhu. Our qualities are same. The Lord's quality and our qualities, the qualities means Satchidananda. Not the, he is Chatushashti Kala Prapurna. He has 64 qualities. We may not have all 64 qualities. We are not speaking about all those fine qualities. But as far as the quality of eternality is concerned, we both are similar in qualities. So we are Sanatana. He is also Sanatana, we are also Sanatana. According to Vedic version, the Supreme Lord manifests and expands himself in innumerable expansions, of which the primary expansions are called Vishnu Tattva and the secondary expansions are called living entities. Okay. So amshas are also two types, Sva Amsha and Vibhinna Amsha. Okay. Now you see, in other words, the Vishnu Tattva is the personal expansion, and the living entities are separated expansions. Means Vishnu Tattvas are Svamshas. Living entities are Vibhinnamshas. Separated expansions and personal expansions. By his personal expansion, he is manifested into various forms like Rama, Narasimha, Vishnumurti and all the predominating deities in Vaikuntha planets. All this Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, Rama, Narasimha, Varaha, Vamana, all these are incarnations. They are all Vishnu Tattvas. But the separated expansions, the living entities, are servants. Vishnu tattvas are lords. But jiva tattvas are servants of the lords. Okay. So the separated expansions are vibhinnamshas. The living entities are eternally servitors. The personal expansions of the Lord, the individual identities of the Godhead are always present. So we need to understand the word amsha in my amsha properly. Amsha is vibhinna amsha in the context of jivas, and swamsha in the context of Krishna's avatars. Okay. We are all amshas, avatars are also amshas, but there is a difference between us and him. So we are not one. So Ramadi Murti Sukala Niyamena Tishthan Nana Avatara Makarod Bhavaneshu Kintu. So just like one candle lighting all other candles. So these examples are given to show the similarity between the Lord, between the Supreme Lord Krishna and his expansions, his incarnations. But as far as jivas are concerned, we are not exactly the same. We are similar in nature. He is spiritual, we are spiritual. He is eternal, we are eternal. But we are not one in all respects. And coming to the second part of the shloka, Manaha Shashtani Indriyani Prakritisthani Karshati. The living entities, not only human beings and the cats and dogs, but even the greater controllers of the world, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, are all parts and parcels of the Lord. They are all eternal, not temporary manifestations. The word karshati is struggling or grappling hard. The conditioned soul is bound up as though shackled by iron chains. Karshati. What is that which is causing such great bondage for the conditioned soul? The answer is false ego. False ego or ahankara, mithya ahankara, binds the pure spirit soul to this material world. That ahankara is basically misidentification with matter and designations and a sense of belonging. Because of false ego, we think that we are bodies. And then we tend to think that all the relations or possessions related to this body are mine. So these conceptions of aham and mameti, me and mine, so these are the products of false ego. He is bound up by the false ego, and the mind is the chief agent which is driving him in this material existence. So mind really diverts the conditioned soul from its original goal, from the soul's original goal. Original goal is Krishna. Okay. Nate viduh swartha gatim hi vishnum durashayaye bahir artha maninaha. You remember this shloka from the 7th canto of Bhagavatam? Prahlad says, Nate viduh swartha gatim hi vishnum. Sva artha gati, the real goal of every living entity is Vishnu. Okay, is the Supreme Lord, Vishnu or Krishna, Rama, whoever is your favorite deity in the Vishnu tattvas. Okay. So, but durashayaye, because of unnecessarily being ambitious on a material plane, bahir artha maninaha. We consider outside things or external things to be artha, meaningful things. Okay. So, because of this, there is a lot of difficulty for the conditioned soul. That's why the word karshati is used. Because of being averse to a sense of subordination to Krishna, because of not being devoted to Krishna, because of not practicing bhakti yoga, the conditioned soul is undergoing so many difficulties under the influence of false ego because of the six senses that include the mind. Okay. So, like that. It is stated here that when a living entity gives up this material embodiment and enters into the spiritual world, he revives his spiritual body, and in his spiritual body he can see the Supreme Lord face to face. Okay. We are all eternal fragmental parts of Krishna, and we can see Krishna face to face. Eighth shloka. Basically, in these couple of shlokas, 8, 7, 8, 9, Krishna is also indicating the power of mind. It is the mind that causes the transmigration. Of course, ultimately the villain is false ego. Mind is just a subservient of the false ego. Let us see. How Krishna ended the previous shloka saying that the conditioned soul is struggling hard because of mind and senses. Now Krishna will elaborate how the jiva carrying the senses is struggling in this world. 8th shloka. ಶರೀರಂ ಯದವಾಪ್ನೋತಿ ಯಚ್ಚಾಪ್ಯುಕ್ರಾಮತೀಶ್ವರಃ ಗೃಹೀತ್ವೈತಾನಿ ಸಂಯಾತಿ ವಾಯುರ್ಗಂಧಾನ್ ಇವಾಶಯತ್. ಶರೀರಂ ಯದ್ ಅವಾಪ್ನೋತಿ ಯಚ್ಚಾಪಿ ಉತ್ಕ್ರಾಮತೀಶ್ವರಃ. ಉತ್ಕ್ರಾಮತಿ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಗಿವ್ಸ್ ಅಪ್. ಓಕೆ, ದ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್ ಎಂಟಿಟಿ ಕ್ಯಾರೀಸ್ ಡಿಫ್ರೆಂಟ್ ಕಾನ್ಸೆಪ್ಷನ್ಸ್, mental conceptions of life within the mind. So the living entity carries all these conceptions from one material body to another material body. Okay, shariram yada vapnoti, so the living entity gets a new sharira when he gives up the old sharira. Okay, grihitvaitani samyati vayur gandhani vashayat. So now he carries, the living entity is carried by the material mind. Or in other sense, in other words, the living entity carries all his mental conceptions from one body to another body. You have some mental conceptions or desires that you maintain in this lifetime. They are all material in nature. So he will be given another body to fulfill all these mental desires and material, to exercise all these material conceptions. Accordingly, our next body is created. Okay. So an example is given. Krishna gives an analogy to explain this concept. Just as air carries aromas. Now you can see so many rose plants are in front of you. Roses, I think somebody plucked. Only few roses are there. So anyways, the fragrance of these roses, for the fragrance to reach your nostrils, there is wind. Okay. So wind carries, the air carries the aroma of the flower from the flower to your nose. Okay, so just as wind carries aroma, similarly mind carries the soul from one body to another body, or the soul carries mental conceptions from one body to another body. Okay, this is how the bodies change. There is no need for us to go from one body to another body if our mind is clean and there is only Krishna in that mind. If the mind has so many material desires, then body, we have to change bodies to fulfill those material desires. But if the mind is filled with spiritual vibrations and Krishna conscious activities, Krishna conscious thoughts and desires, then one will be transferred to Krishna planet. Like that. So the living entity in the material world carries his different conceptions of life from one body to another, as the air carries aromas. Thus he takes one kind of body and again quits it to take another kind of body. So why this happens? Why we develop material desires in the first place? Because Prabhupada writes in the purport, there is minute independence. We discussed in the previous shloka, what is the identity of the living entity? What is our identity? We are all amshas of Krishna. Krishna says, mama eva amsho jiva loke. That's our original identity. All other identities as man, woman, Indian, American, animal, human being, all these are temporary identities that exist only within one lifetime. Our permanent identity, the permanent identity of every single living entity is that he or she is a part and parcel of Krishna. Amsha of Krishna. We are all amshas of Krishna. That is our original identity that we discussed before. So, now, Krishna is supremely independent and we are his small amshas, right? Small fragmental portions. So we also have some little independence. He is supremely independent and we are minutely independent. Fine. So independence means you can use that independence the way you want. That's what independence is. You can use it the way you want. If you use it properly in God's service, in doing things properly, according to the Vedic scriptural regulations and all that. Okay. So when the independence is utilized in a proper manner, then there is good destiny. But if the independence is misused, if the minute independence is misused by the living entity, then the living entity has to take up so many material bodies. Okay. Prabhupada writes very beautifully, he says, the change the change his body undergoes depends on upon him. At the time of death, the consciousness he has created will carry him on to the next type of body. If he has made his consciousness like that of a cat or a dog, he is sure to change to a cat's body or a dog's body. Just now we saw dogs there. So the dogs are coming here. So, yeah, within every living entity's heart, Krishna is there. Whether it is dog body or cat body or whichever may be the body, human body or non-human body, the super soul is there within everybody's heart. But why at all one person takes dog body? Why a person takes cat body? Why a person takes demigod body, devata body? Sometimes some people may take human bodies. All this is because of our own consciousness, okay? Our thoughts, our desires, our inclinations, okay? Our proclivities. So all these are based on how we use our minute independence. Now if somebody has, say, 100 rupees in the pocket, so with that 100 rupees, either he can purchase some food and eat, or he can go to some movie theater and then watch a movie, or he can go to temple and then take darshan, okay? He can use that 100 rupees the way he wants. That means that is his money, he has the independence to use it. Now if that same money is utilized for some unmentionable activities, for example somebody may use it for purchasing some intoxicants and then taking it. It could be as simple as a cigarette, it could be as detrimental as something else. Okay. So it's up to you how to use that independence. But you don't have the independence to spend 1,000 rupees when you have only 100 rupees, right? So we have an independence to walk from this place to another place. But we don't have the independence to fly like a bird. Birds have the independence. But we have the independence to speak out in certain language. But birds do not have the independence to speak in a language. They have their own chirping. Only other birds can understand. When the bird is chirping, what she is speaking or he is speaking, you cannot understand. Okay. So they cannot communicate in a language understood by human beings. Okay. So the point is, every body is conditioned. When you enter certain body, you have to accept all those conditionings. So we cannot fly, we are not birds. We cannot run like a kangaroo. Kangaroo is there, right? So kangaroo runs so fast. The giraffe is so tall. An elephant can carry so many loads. But human beings cannot do all that. But human beings are operating on smartphones and then typing things and then studying scriptures. Animals cannot do. So everybody comes with certain facilities. Okay. Now why did the living entity enter that body? Because of the mental status. Because of our consciousness. Okay. And how is that entrance into a body happened in the first place? Because it all depends on how we use or misuse our independence. Now, at one time of, and if he has fixed his consciousness on godly qualities, he will change into the form of a demigod. And if he is in Krishna consciousness, he will be transferred to Krishna Loka in the spiritual world and will associate with Krishna. It is a false claim that after the inhalation of this body, everything is finished. The individual soul is transmigrating from one body to another, and his present body and present activities are background of his next body. So all his activities in the current body depend on how the person uses his or her minute independence, the free will. This is very important point. Now next question is, if we are entering different material bodies because of misusing our minute independence, because Krishna is supremely independent, can't he manipulate our minute independence and enable us to use that independence in only good activities, not bad activities? Now, a student joined a college. He has certain independence. Within that independence, he can either study nicely or just avoid all studies, neglect all studies and then unnecessarily waste his time in various other activities. So, and some students may study well and attain good rank and then pass out with flying colors and then attain good jobs and all that. Some people who wasted their time and energy, they may end up again in the same college because some subjects are not cleared. Okay. So all this is how they utilized their time. So this is this results will come according to how we utilize our time and independence. The same facility is given to both the students, but their utilization of that facility depends on their independence. Okay. So a bad student or a duller may be retained in the same college, okay, or same standard. Say he is doing 7th standard and then he didn't study well, and he will again have to study 7th standard. But other person will go to the 8th standard. Similarly, if we utilize our independence properly in the human life, we can transcend this material life completely and go to Krishna Loka by performing Krishna Bhakti. But if a person misutilizes his independence and does not use it for spiritual activities, he will have to continue the same material activities in a different body again. Okay. So you failed in 7th standard, again you have to continue in 7th standard, but your batchmates will be different. All the 7th standard students just went to 8th standard, right? So you remain with a new, fresh batch. So similarly, the conditioned soul who stayed back in the material world will continue his tenure here with other materialistic living entities who are not yet liberated. So why can't Krishna change this independence? He can manipulate. He will not manipulate. Because independence is given to you. And if that independence is tweaked by the Lord, how can it be called as independence? You have to use that independence at your discretion. You have independence to use that independence. It's up to you. Krishna will not interfere with your minute independence. That is your property for the rest of eternity. If Krishna forces you to love Him, forces you to serve Him, forces you to do bhakti unto Him, then He is not acknowledging your independence. He can inspire you, but He will not impose. He will give us teachings of bhakti yoga through Bhagavad Gita. It's up to us whether we accept it or not. Because Krishna does not want forced love. I need something and I need some water, and if you are forced to give me water, I may not be comfortable accepting it. Okay, I need some food, and somebody is threatening you from behind, if you don't give him food, I will kill you. Out of fear and out of obligation, you came and offered me some food, and if I know that you are obliged to do it, you are not comfortable doing it, you are not happy doing it, I will not be comfortable accepting it. If we cannot accept forced service from somebody, how can we expect that Krishna or God should accept forced service from somebody? That's why Krishna does not force anyone to do anything against their desires. He will inspire. He will teach us, this is good, this is bad. This will lead you to degradation in material realm, and this will elevate you to the spiritual realm. So I told what is what in the Bhagavad Gita, in other scriptures. It's up to you whether you accept it or not. Yathechase tatha kuru. So, like that, Krishna will not interfere with our minute independence. So, it's up to us. If we use our independence nicely, then we can transcend this material world. If we misuse that same independence, then we will have to stay in the material world. 9th shloka. Shrotram chakshuh sparshanam cha. रसनम घ्राणमेवच अधिष्ठाय मनश्चायम विषयान उपसेवते. सो इन द 8th श्लोक कृष्णा डिस्क्राइब्ड अबाउट द जीवस चेंजिंग बॉडीज एंड वंस यू चेंज द बॉडी टेक अनदर ग्रॉस बॉडी सटल बॉडी सेम माइंड ओके माइंड इज कैरिंग यू फ्रॉम वन ग्रॉस बॉडी टू अनदर ग्रॉस मटेरियल बॉडी. So then you obtain Shrotram, new ears, Chakshum, new eyes, Sparshanam, new tongue, Ghranam, Rasanam Ghranam Evacha, new nose, new sense of touch, all grouped about the mind, and thus you enjoy different sense objects. Adhishtaya Manaschayam Vishayan Upasevati. Just because you have sense gratificatory desires, you are given a fresh set of material senses to fulfill those sense gratificatory desires. But if one gives up those sense gratificatory desires, then that is gone. Then there is no need to accept another gross body. So if the living entity adulterates his consciousness with the qualities of cats and dogs, in his next life he gets a cat or dog body and enjoys. Consciousness is originally pure, like water. But if we mix water with certain color, it changes. Similarly, consciousness is pure, for the spirit soul is pure. But consciousness is changed according to the association of the material qualities. Real consciousness is Krishna consciousness. In the original pure state of the spirit soul, every soul loves Krishna more than anyone else and anything else in the entire cosmic manifestation. A pure spirit soul loves Krishna more than oneself. We can see such pure, pristine spiritual consciousness in the Vrajavasis, in Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, everyone loves Krishna more than their own selves, more than their own sons. We can see in Brahma Mohan Leela how all the mothers and cows of Vrindavan loved Krishna more than their own children, more than their own selves. So, pure consciousness is Krishna consciousness. But in the material world, coming in contact with material objects, that becomes material consciousness. So because of material consciousness, the soul has to go from one body to another body. 10th sloka. Utkramantam sthitam vapi.
Utkramantam sthitam vapi.
Bhunjanam va gunanvitam.
Bhunjanam va gunanvitam.
Vimudhananupashyanti.
Vimudhananupashyanti.
Pashyanti jnana chakshusaham.
Pashyanti jnana chakshusaham.
Utkramantam sthitam vapi. In this sloka, Krishna describes the soul's transmigration. Who can understand soul's transmigration and who cannot understand soul's transmigration? Krishna speaks. Utkramantam sthitam vapi. This quitting of the body and staying in the body. Utkramantam means giving up body. Sthitam means staying in the body. Bhunjanam va gunanvitam. Bhunjanam means enjoying so many things in this body. What kind of enjoyment is that? Gunanvitam. Under the influence of material modes we enjoy. What are those modes we have seen in the previous chapter very elaborately? Vimudha na anupashyanti. Vimudha means people who are very dull-headed, foolish people, materialistic people, selfish people. Okay? No knowledge, no spiritual knowledge. So such people na anupashyanti. They cannot see this. Okay? How living entities quitting the body and staying in the body and enjoying in material senses, all this whole transmigration process cannot be understood by vimudha, foolish people. Pashyanti jnana chakshusaha. Who can see this? People who have knowledgeable vision, okay, eyes of knowledge. Jnana chakshu means their eyes see, but they see with knowledge. Their vision is accompanied with knowledge and wisdom. When a child sees a 2000 rupee note, he is seeing. He has perfect eyes. But he cannot understand what is this 2000 rupee note. He may just fold it and then put it in his mouth or tear it or do something. Because he does not understand the value of 2000 rupee note. But a grown up man will see the 2000 rupee note and he understands its value and then he will fold it and keep it in the pocket very safely. He can do so many things with that. Why? Because there is jnana. There is knowledge about that paper. It's a paper. Okay. There is a knowledge about the paper. A small infant child does not have the knowledge. Similarly, a materialistic person does not have spiritual knowledge. A spiritually elevated person has spiritual knowledge. Jnana chakshusha. Just like a child cannot understand the value of a 2000 rupee note, and a grown-up man can understand. Similarly, a materialistic person cannot understand the process of transmigration of soul. But a spiritual seeker, a spiritualist can understand that the soul is transmigrating from one body to another body, just wasting time. The soul can go to the spiritual world and eternally stay there in the loving company of God, serving Him and loving Him and having no need to come in contact with any material experience whatsoever. Because material experience means ultimately it is suffering. So, when there is no spiritual knowledge, when there are no jnana chakshus, jnana chakshu is eyes of knowledge, we cannot see this transmigration. People may just brush it aside. What is soul, body? I never saw soul. I can't believe in the existence of soul. Okay. So, Jnana Chakshu. How do we get Jnana Chakshu? We need to go to those people who are knowledgeable. Then they will give us knowledge. With that knowledge, we will be able to see these things in this world in proper perspective. So having Jnana Chakshu means seeing things in proper perspective. So Prabhupada writes, the word Jnana Chakshu is very significant. Without knowledge, one cannot understand how a living entity leaves this present body, nor what form of body he is going to take in the next life, nor even why he is living in a particular type of body. This requires a great amount of knowledge understood from Bhagavad Gita and similar literatures heard from bona fide spiritual master. Eleventh shloka. Yatanto yoginaschainam pashyantyatmanyavasthitam yatanto api akritatmano nainam pashyantyachetasaham yatanto yoginaschainam pashyantyatmanyavasthitam. The endeavoring transcendentalists means those are spiritual seekers. Those are on the path of spiritual life, who are situated in self-realization, can see all these things in with proper clarity. Okay, they can understand the process of transmigration. They can see how a soul is going from one body to another body because of material desires, and they know the process of coming out of this birth and death cycle also. Okay, then yatantopi akritatmano. But those with impure consciousness cannot see this, although they may try to do so. Okay. So, we need to purify our consciousness to be able to properly understand the transmigration process. Otherwise, we may not have faith. So, the purification of consciousness happens by coming in contact with devotees who are on the spiritual path. To understand spiritual subject matters, we need to associate with spiritually inclined people. If you are all the while associating with materialistic people who are selfish in nature, whose only aim is to gratify their senses, and to that end they are absorbed and engrossed in money making and many other things, then the possibility of attaining spiritual knowledge is almost nil. So we need to associate with spiritually inclined people to actually perform, practice spiritual life. Okay. Prabhupada writes in this purport that there could be so many so-called yogis, but the best of all yogis is bhakti yogi. Even though they are endeavoring in a so-called yoga system, they are not self-realized. Such people cannot understand the process of transmigration of the soul. Only those who are actually in yoga system and have realized the self, the world, the Supreme Lord, in other words, the bhakti yogis, those engaged in pure devotional service and Krishna consciousness, can understand how things are taking place. So, Krishna established Bhakti Yoga to be the topmost of all yogas. So, we completed up to 11th shloka. So, we'll start the next session in the next class. Hare Krishna.